Femme Forte is sponsored by Girls March. Imagine walking into a drumline or front ensemble audition and only seeing other girls there. It may be tough to picture. Girls March offers seminars for young women in the marching arts because this rarely, if ever, happens. As a female percussionist myself, this is something I wish I had growing up. Girls March is offering a camp this upcoming summer. Register now at girlsmarch.org.
I guess really similar to what you just said. It's almost like realizing that this was once a pipe dream, you know, like when I was a kid, like, you know, watching Blast, like seeing Blast live for the first time, or like seeing videos of Stomp, you know, that, you know, your elementary music teacher would play in the classroom, and thinking, I want to write something like that one day, or I want to be in something like that one day. And then it comes around, and, you know, you work really hard to be able to say yes. Lauren mentioned something like that yesterday. Just like putting yourself in a position to be able to say yes when the call comes around, and working as hard as you can to be ready for that moment, even if you think you might not be yet. And then to do the thing and then complete it, get home, and just realize, I just did that. You know, like
disbelief.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a podcast where we celebrate women in music and performing arts. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. Hello and welcome back. If you're new here, I'm your host, Amanda DeVries, music media professional, experienced performer, and musician. For those of you who are an oldie but a goodie, thank you for your support. It's so great to have you. Here's your weekly reminder that one of the easiest things you can do to support the show is by sharing and subscribing. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can go ahead and drop some comments and questions in the interactive feature at the bottom of the episode. You can also leave us voicemails either with your thoughts on the show or some questions you'd like for us to answer on an upcoming episode. Go to femfortepodcast.com and click the mic button in the corner. I'm so lucky to call these two amazing women my colleagues, and more importantly, my friends. Today I am joined by Kaylee Brooke and Jamise Moses. These amazing women I have looked up to my entire life, and it was so amazing to have them on the show. Kaylee and Jamise are absolutely demolishing the industry as being a part of the first inaugural women cast to play the musician on the Blue Man Group World Tour, and have performed in various roles around the world, including NFL stadiums, nationally recognized theme parks, and so much more. We talk about their journeys as touring musicians and the steps they took to get to these amazing opportunities. This episode is for those interested in a performing career or simply looking for your way into finding your first gig. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome back to Femme Forte. Today we have two very special guests. We are here at the Girls March Camp in Sugar Land, Texas. I have Kaylee Brooke and Jamise Moses. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Well, I know where y'all's background comes from, but go ahead and tell our listeners and our viewers kind of who you are, where you're from, and a little bit about your upbringing into music.
All right, I'll go first. My name is Jamise Moses. I'm from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I reside in Charlotte right now, kind of back and forth. And music started for me very young. I was in church. My dad played drums. So I was like 3 when I got my first drum set. And I thought I was going to be like a drum set artist. Like I was like watching videos, like when Pearl released like DVDs and like even like tapes. Like I was watching tapes. And got to high school and I was like found marching band. And I was like, this is cool too. Like I want to try this so I can get better at drum set. And that's when like things totally shifted. So I went to ANTI for college, marched a couple of years there. Then I started a business with my friends, doing like corporate entertainment and like just any kind of random gigs. Like it'd be like at Google's headquarters and we're like in front of a bunch of like business people and we're playing drums. It's like super weird, but it's a way to wake people up and entertain them and like show them how you can develop a craft if you like work hard at it. So that's what I do every day now, is like corporate entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm Kaylee. I grew up in the North Texas area. I went to LD Bell High School. Was super involved in the marching band activity. And after that, I went to UNT, just like a lot of other Girls March ladies here. And after UNT, I went to Texas A&M Commerce, and I did my master's there, studied with Dr. Zader. And in between my undergrad and grad degree, I started freelancing as much as I could in the DFW area. Because at the time, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go back to school and pursue another degree because I really wasn't sure which path in music or in percussion or performance even that I wanted to take. I knew maybe the band director route wasn't quite calling my name. The same with like orchestral music and taking that route or like the military band route. So that year in between college, it was super pivotal for me. Kind of like Jamisa, I started playing with entertainment drum lines, specifically Dynamic Rhythm and also the Dallas Mavericks. And we did a lot of corporate events, just like what you described. And yeah, I kind of fell in love with that style of drumming, like just strictly for entertainment purposes. So I went and did my master's, and after that, the Blast gig came about, and that was a show I'd always wanted to be part of since I was a kid, since I saw it. Actually, that's kind of what started my interest in drumming and in music, was seeing different shows like Blast, like the more theatrical side of drumming, like Blast, like Stomp, and other spinoff versions of it. So to see that and to have that like spark my interest in drumming, and then for it to come full circle later, actually being part of a show like that, was really, really cool to see. It felt really awesome. Fast forward through other shows, other corporate drumline gigs, through other auditions, hearing a lot of no's and some yeses too. Fast forward through all that. Now I live in New York, and I play with the Blue Man Group on their world tour.
Yeah, I mean, that's super awesome. And I kid you not, like, this podcast, like, right here, like, in this week in general, like, it's come full circle for me, as I've told you both before. Like, it is such a dream to be working alongside y'all, to have y'all on the show, to share your story. And it gets me really emotional about it. And as I discussed, you know, with y'all last night, like, it's just so amazing. And I'm so fortunate that you want to support a project like this. And it absolutely means the world to me.
Us too. I think I can speak for the both of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel the same.
Yeah. So let's like jump right in. I mean, the big hot ticket is like when I found out that both of y'all are part of the Blue Man Group. And like, to me, like, that's absolutely wild, absolutely inspiring. And tell me a little bit about like the start into that journey.
My start is honestly from a DM from like somebody I worked with at Carowinds. And she like just sends me this thing. She's like, you should submit for this. I found this audition for Blue Man. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do it. Like, so I took like a week, like asking everybody in like my green room, like, hey, does this reel look okay? Like, is this good enough? Like, I'm scared to like hit the go button. But like, finally one of my castmates talked me into doing it. And I think 2 weeks later I was flying to New York for a callback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine started like a year, maybe a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. The same posting kind of popped up, and I actually didn't see it, and someone showed the post to me too, and it was actually someone that I met in a different audition like a week before that. It was an audition that we both got cut from, but she saw the posting in like an Actors Access. Yeah. And she sent it to me, and she was like, hey, I, you know, really enjoyed meeting you, like had a lot of fun in the audition, blah, blah, blah. This looks like something you should do. So I, read the casting call and was like, absolutely. So sent in all my stuff. And the process was pretty long. It lasted a few months with just multiple callbacks. This was like the original casting. So they had a lot of people submit. And so it kind of took them a little bit longer to take people through the process. So eventually months later, it ended up working out. And now we're both with the show, and we actually just got done spending a week with each other in Europe. And Jamise knocked it out of the park. She showed up, did the show. I was only there for a few days, but yeah, she killed it. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's so inspiring and amazing. And out of curiosity, like, when you find auditions for this, I mean, you both did mention that someone just DM'd it to you, but like, in other aspects when you go to auditions, like where is like a resource if someone was looking to pursue that route, where what would be like the first couple places they would look?
That is a really good question, and I feel like you might get this too. I get that a lot. It's too bad that we don't have like a backstage or a playbill or an actor's access, but strictly for musicians. And there might be a database like that or a website that exists out there that I don't know about. But those are ones that I like have like open tabs on my computer at all times. And I check constantly, like the playbills, the backstages. I have an actor's access profile too. Actually, I forgot that I had one until my friend sent me that casting call. And I was like, oh yeah, I have a profile on this website. I should check it more often. But yeah, that along with just staying, I don't know, just like staying active on social media because, you know, companies, entertainment companies like the JMMDs and the Windish Entertainments, like they're pushing casting call posts all the time and it spreads like wildfire. So I think that's where I see a lot of like activity happening.
Also just like going out and looking for it. Like I literally Google musician, auditions every other month or so, like just to see what'll pop up. Different theme parks, like if you go on Universal's website, you can look for auditions. There are like a couple of websites, like there's like Gig Salad, but it's more for like bands and like established like artists. So it is hard. It's really hard for marching like percussionists to find gigs unless you're like really pushing yourself on social media, like connecting with companies like Windish and JM and like just looking out for it, truthfully.
Yeah, and I mean, I could say the same thing from like when I got connected with JMMD. It was also just a DM, and I was so lucky and so glad to have that opportunity. I think that was really like unique and pretty special. And you know, off of that, like for y'all, like when was your pinnacle moment of like deciding that you wanted to kind of pursue performance full time, and what did that process look like for the both of you?
I don't know if I'm there yet. Truthfully, every dry spell is like, oh, I've got to find a backup like career. Like
that's the part that people don't talk about either. Like we perform for a living, yes, but also at the same time, like I have multiple other side hustles that I do because sometimes it's, you know, the gigs aren't consistent and you know, I think if a bunch of actors, let's say, or people in different disciplines in the arts would be listening to this podcast right now, they would probably say, duh, that's what we all do. But as musicians, and especially like in college or like in a university setting, we're not really told or taught a lot about what it takes to be a freelancing musician, and that might involve doing a bunch of other things that have nothing to do with music. And more importantly, that's okay. That's the way it goes. That's the, you know, that is how to make a living doing something that you love. You might have to do other things that are kind of a means to an end. And it's not a bad thing. That's just how it works, you know?
Yeah. And truthfully and honestly, like one of the things when creating this podcast and asking myself, yes, of course, I want to empower young women to, you know, in music by sharing the stories and experiences of people who are absolutely like kicking butt in the industry, which is why I have both of you on here. But also I saw that gap in the, you know, in resources, in like finding the education of, you know, someone like me. Like when I was a lot younger, I had that same goal of like living in New York, playing in like Broadway pits. And that was like my dream. But to be honest, that seemed so far fetched when I was at, you know, when I was younger, because I didn't even know where to start. And so that's kind of why I wanted to, you know, bring this podcast to fruition, whether you are a freelance performer, whether you are like a band director into your first 15th year of teaching and still don't know what to do. Like, it's getting experience and getting advice for people who are doing it here and now, and hopefully being able to, one, relate to some of those experiences, but also two, like help them elevate them in their career by listening to some of the information that y'all have provided. So,
yeah, totally. Sandy, Lauren, and Adrian, I think, all three at some point yesterday during their podcast episode said something to the effect of be comfortable with being uncomfortable and just going for whatever it is that you want, even if you think there's no way it would ever work out, or you don't know if it were to work out, you don't know how to actually do it and make it happen. Like, you don't have all the fine details figured out. I think the best things I've ever done are the things that have terrified me so bad, you know,
like, absolutely.
Like even drum corps, it was Lauren Teal that talked me into marching drum corps. I'd never been in a front ensemble in my life. And if it weren't for her and Rachel, like teaching me how to play scales, I didn't even know all my scales when I got to UNT. I was strictly like a drummer, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't think I was ready. I was terrified. And I got to march Vanguard, you know, and like I figured it out with the help of a lot of people. But same thing in my professional life, you know, like I didn't think I was ready to be in a show like Blast. And I almost said no. And same thing for Blue Man. I didn't know if I thought that they made a mistake when they called me eventually. I thought that I was like the wrong Kaylee and they meant to call a different Kaylee. Like, I just thought they were playing a prank. But yeah, you just do it anyway. You know, whatever it is you want to do, like, just go for it. See what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, based off of your experiences, like, what in the course of your career, how has those like experiences impacted you in a, like a positive way? So you like mentioned Blast, Kaylee, and then Jamise. I know that you just like were a part of this collaborative project with like Xfinity, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whoever wants to go first, you can talk a little bit on that.
Each opportunity is like mind blowing for me. So like, I kind of have the same thought. Like every time like I get casted for something, I'm like, me? Really? Is this a joke? Like that project, I got a call. I was already pretty busy and I flew to LA. I had no idea what I was going to be playing. Like, I'm literally on a plane with me and my snare drum. And I get there and they're like, yeah, we're going to do like a cover of somebody's music. It's either going to be Coco Jones or Mooney Long. And I'm just like, and you want me to play a marching snare drum? Okay. So like I'm in the process and I'm realizing like, wow, I really am going to like work with somebody who is like on the charts right now. And like my mind is like just blown away. But I guess every time I complete something, like I just feel like I'm adding like a notch on that resume. And like I'm just proud of myself. But at the same time, I'm in like disbelief. Like I just worked with like Grammy Award winning producers and I'm just like, okay, well, what's next? Yeah. So I guess like I'm always like just... Even though, like, I'm putting these notches on the resume, I'm still, like, always grinding and, like, all right, how can I take this even higher? Like, that's always a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. What was the question again?
It was how has, you know, your experiences, like, Blast and stuff, like, impacted you, like, looking back, like, you know, through the course of your career, like, in a positive way?
Yeah. I guess really similar to what you just said. It's almost like realizing that this was once a pipe dream, you know, like when I was a kid, like, you know, watching Blast, like seeing Blast live for the first time, or like seeing videos of Stomp, you know, that, you know, your music teacher, elementary music teacher would play in the classroom, and thinking, I want to write something like that one day, or I want to be in something like that one day. And then it comes around and, you know, you work really hard to be able to say yes. Lauren mentioned something like that yesterday. Just like putting yourself in a position to be able to say yes when the call comes around, and working as hard as you can to be ready for that moment, even if you think you might not be yet.
Yeah.
And then to do the thing and then complete it, get home and just realize I just did that, you know, like
disbelief.
Yeah. It's just like, I dreamt about it for so long, and then when it actually happens for me, like especially the second Blast tour that I had one under my belt, came around again, second Blast tour, I really like made myself slow down a little bit and appreciate every single moment of it.
Yeah.
Because you realize the older you get, like those opportunities are really like, they don't come around very often.
Yeah.
And so when they do, it's like you just want to live in it as long as you can and like remember how it feels to be in that in that place. And same with Blue Man. Like, yeah, it's work some days. And well, every day it's work. But some days it feels more like work than other days because it is a job,
yeah.
You know. And like any other job that people have, it's not always going to be, you know, the best feeling ever.
Yeah.
But in those moments especially, I just have to sit back and realize I am in Geneva, Switzerland right now playing with the Blue Man Group. Like, what is my life right now, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is everything I've ever worked for, and it just feels so good to be in that place, you know? And so, like you mentioned, like, when there are dry spells and when things are a little bit slower, you can think back and remember exactly how it feels to be doing what you were meant to do, you know? What a crazy experience people get to have to do something that they love to do, and that's their job. That's insane.
I just imagine, like, going back for 5 minutes and seeing little Jamise, 3 years old, with, like, the little, it's like a cymbal in the middle and, like, two toms and a bass drum. Like, imagine just watching her and, like, you don't even know what you're going to do in, like, 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, like, having those moments, you know, at the forefront of your mind, given that, you know, sometimes you have these really unique experiences and that you're living out, you know, your dream job, so to speak. Is there any times where you have, like, moments of imposter syndrome, like where you start to doubt yourself, like given, like, all the glory?
Absolutely. Like, yes. 100 times yes. And for me, it's always it's more teaching moments. It's like when Coastal does clinics, like, there's 50 kids in front of you who have studied videos, like, and they're like, if you mess up, they're gonna be like, I saw you missed that stick twirl. So, like, that's the moment for me of, like, am I really up here right now? Like, am I really doing this? And I think that plays off, like, what Lauren said, like, you have to prepare for those moments and, like, always, like, one of my line brothers has this quote, it's like, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And it's just being on top of that craft at all times. But, like, the syndrome, it does still creep in. Like, every once in a while, like, I'll get on Instagram and be like, wow, a lot of people follow me. Like, a lot of people look up to me and, like, want to buy certain sticks because I play with those sticks, or ask me, what kind of pad is that? And I'm just like, me? Really? Are you serious? Like, you want what I want? Like, it's weird sometimes. Like, it happens.
Yeah, totally.
It still creeps up.
Yeah.
But you have to just stay positive. Like,
yeah, totally. It's something that I fight, like, pretty regularly still. Like, I think when we're younger, we think, well, when we get to this certain, like, when we accomplish XYZ things, or when we get to this certain age, all of that will go away. Like Sandy mentioned yesterday, there's never an age you get to, I think, when you're just not nervous anymore. You know, like, that doesn't necessarily disappear. And same for me, at least, with imposter syndrome. Like, it doesn't go away, but I know what it feels like to be experiencing imposter syndrome. And so through, like, just acknowledging it and knowing what it feels like, I've taught myself different ways to like retrain my brain into thinking more positively, or, you know, whatever I need at the time, or maybe I need to go for a run or exercise, or I'm not getting enough water. Like, you know, like, when I'm not taking care of my body, that's when imposter syndrome creeps in even more. Like, when I don't feel good physically too, you know, so things like that help my brain also, you know?
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it speaks to, like, who you both are as human beings. Like, even though, like, imposter syndrome is not always, like, the best thing to have, like, at the end of the day, it shows that, like, both of you, given all, like, these high, you know, accomplishments that you have done, like, are still human and is still, like, very humble about it, which is, like, truly amazing. Because, like, yes, you could be, like, a really great performer, but you can also be a jerk about it too. Like, and one of the things that, like, I think in general about all this, you know, all the staff that is here is, like, we are all, like, very humble people, and it's just so, you know, grateful to surround yourself with positive people who have really good moral character like that.
Yeah, you can feel it the second you walk into the room here, you know. You can tell when you're in a room full of great humans that all just want the best for everybody around them, because I'm sure or maybe I've experienced this too, like I've been in plenty of rooms where that is not the energy, yeah. you know, unfortunately.
It's like a competition sometimes. Yeah. There's no competition here. There's no,
that's like just
like better than you. Like we're just having fun. Like we're drumming together.
Yeah. And it like, it's definitely something I didn't have growing up, you know, as a female in percussion. You know, it was really just the idea of like, how can we pit these young women against each other? You know, that was a mentality when I was growing up. And, through something like Girls March or just through Girls March in general, it shows girls that there's room for all of us, you know, and whoever told you that there wasn't, they're lying, you know,
yeah.
It's not true. And it's for me, like in my personal life, it's really nice to be in a place where I can be sitting and watching someone, watching another girl, like even in the role of the rock star with Blue Man, like I can sit and watch Jamise do a show, or McKenna or Nicole, who are also in the same role. I can watch them and just be so happy, like genuinely happy that they're thriving and just so excited for them. No, like no jealousy, no competition, like none of that exists. And I think it's through, you know, things like Girls March and people like Rachel Taylor and Lauren and Sandy and Jamise, like it's really a game changer. Like it has been for me personally, but also it's going to be such a game changer for these young girls that are here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just so like a one-off question, the role that you both are playing, that's a fairly new role, right? Like hasn't it like the Blue Man Group has always been men, correct?
Up until last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's brand new.
Yeah. So how does it feel like just diving into that a little bit? I mean, in the spirit of we are here at Girls March, like how does it feel like to be a part of like that inaugural cast of like, you know, like a female percussionist being added to like such a name?
It is really cool.
Yeah. It's, cool.
It's super, you know, it's kind of in some ways it's easy to think it's overdue. It's 2023 yeah. or at the time 2022.
Yeah.
But it's still like that doesn't over or shouldn't overshadow the fact that this is so important, you know? Like yeah, it's cool that like I get to be part of a brand new role and something that really is important, and it's a fun show, it's a cool job, but bigger picture, this is so important for women in music and women in percussion, you know?
Yeah.
Representation yeah. matters.
It like, really does, yeah.
So there's like a little girl sitting in the crowd that's like, oh, one day I could do that. Like,
yeah, totally.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's also really cool that like the four of us that are in the role, we all play the same character, but we all play her completely differently. And we bring just like different elements of who the rock star is. I mean, we're still learning who she is. We don't really know exactly who she is yet, but we're through the four of us, we're learning a lot about her. And Jamise brings something to the rock star that I don't. I bring something different. And we're all learning from each other too, and how we portray this character. Which is so cool.
Yeah. One of the things that I really, you know, love about the both of you is like you're both are like really passionate about like empowering women, especially in this field. And I mean, all more the reason of why Girls March is this, all more the reason like why this is such important and why we're here. So just a little bit like on that, like through your own personal journey, how has that impacted you?
I really like mean it when I say this is one of my favorite weeks of the year. Like, cause I teach, I get to see like a couple of girls in my school and things. And I wish I could bring them to this so that they could like go through this experience. But like, I guess like I always leave this camp feeling like fulfilled.
Yeah.
I guess is the right word. Like it's just really special. Like, and I don't experience it on this level anywhere else. Like, I get a little taste of it when we're working together, but like for there to be this many girls together, like it just, I don't know, there's a certain energy here that's just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this has easily been one of my favorite weeks of the year. This is the first year I've gotten to be here in person, but from the start, as soon as I heard about it, I mean, Rachel and I went to school together and marched drum corps together. And as soon as I heard about it, I called her and was like, how can I be part of this? Please, can I be part of this? So yeah, it's really cool to watch from afar and watch it happen every year, but to actually be in the room, like it feels like everything I knew it would feel like, because it's everything that I didn't have, you know, just coming up in percussion. And so that's really cool to see. It's really cool to see, so many young girls just like have an opportunity to bond with each other and not be, like I said, pitted against each other.
Yeah.
But also it's like a reunion too, yes. Because we all know each other through different, you know, different parts of our lives. You know, and some of my friendships with these ladies have gone back, you know, over 10 years now, and recent friendships too. And we don't get to see each other very often. So this is a perfect way for all of us to just reconnect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is equally as fun as, I think we're having as much fun as the girls in the camp are having.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
If not more fun.
Like,
yeah. No, it's like, and that's the thing, like, you know, this being my second time here is like, it's such a supportive environment. And like I was telling Rachel earlier, like, as someone who has been following Girls March, like, as, you know, a young high schooler, and now being able to like work alongside like amazing people, like, just being in the same room as y'all and like coming like not from a student perspective, like, because, you know, like technically, like, you know, Crossman wins, like, you know, and like,
yeah,
when we met, I was also still a student. So like, it's just so cool. Like, and I was talking a little bit to like to Adrian about this last night, but I'll, you know, and maybe a little bit of you, but like, I've always felt like the high caliber, like, I've always put y'all on a pedestal, and in a really positive way, because again, I look up to all of y'all. I'm so inspired by y'all, and like, just the fact that like, here and even outside of this, I get seen as an equal is just mind-blowing to me. And like, even like doing this podcast, like, you know, going back to like the whole imposter syndrome, like, even though like so far I've had a very positive response from this podcast, like, I still feel like there's so much more work to do on my end, and like, you know, this is only the beginning, and I'm so excited and so grateful that the community has supported this in every positive way, and it's been truly amazing so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the other side of the table, we're seeing you thrive and seeing Femme Forte take off, which is absolutely no surprise, but also to be asked to talk and chat on your podcast, like... is
imposter
so
syndrome.
Cool. Yeah.
Also, like, are you sure? Right.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But yeah, I mean, it's really cool to see, like, I mean, yeah, I met you when you were marching Crossman Wins, and yeah, now you're running a podcast and like, yeah, taking over the world. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been such a crazy experience, the progression of over the last couple of years, and truly and honestly, like, this is only the beginning, and I cannot wait to see like what further, and like, and me even asking y'all to be a part of the podcast, like, not that I didn't think you were gonna say yes or anything, but I was like writing the email, or like, you know, writing the like request, I was like, okay, I was like, how do I address this, like, how do I make it seem like this is a really cool thing.
It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it was an instant yes.
Yeah, like, see, there's no brainer. Like, yeah, I'm a bit nervous, but like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And one of the personal aspects I love about this is like, yes, I get like recommendations from other people I know to bring you on the pod, but like, it's personal requests that, of people who really matter to like my life, that make it the episode that much more special. Like, for instance, this today, our episode 2 launched, and it was with Dr. Elizabeth Jansen, who was a professor of mine at Texas A&M Kingsville. And like, for the first time, like, we talk on the pod about, she never really gets like a genuine like thank you from her student. And it's like, for me, it's yes, like, I wanted to like put a light on her, because like, she talks about not really advocating for herself a lot. And like, that's like my moment to like give you the mic, because I truly believe in everything that you're doing. So
that's so cool. Yeah. I mean, I wish this podcast had existed, you know, years ago, because it's so important and so necessary. And, you know, I think it means a thousand times more to have a good human behind it running the machine, you know, like yourself. So, yeah, I think it means a lot to all of us that have been asked to be on this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for wanting to hear our story.
Yeah. Of course. Well, we're just about to wrap up here. And before I let y'all go, I just, again, thank you for being a part of this show. I'm so excited. Like, all the information that you have given and everything that you said, like, I've truly taken to heart. And it just means the absolute world to me. So before we go, I do have one last question for you. So, knowing the knowledge that you know now, what is some things that you wish you have told yourself, or what is some advice you wish you would have given as your younger self? Whether it was making the jump to, you know, pursue music performance, whether it was even, you know, picking up sticks or mallets for the first time, like, just kind of looking back on the whole course of your career, what advice to, like, listeners and viewers, like, having the experience and knowledge you have now that you have told yourself?
Stay in piano. Listen to your mom and finish out your piano lessons. That's number one, probably. But also just to, I don't know, to keep pushing. And, like, don't be afraid. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. It takes a while to get to a space, I think, where you feel like you can do that. But if I could convince my younger self to go out for more, because you can achieve it if you try. But, like, I was too scared to try.
Yeah, I would tell myself to get out of my own way. Like, man, so many times. Like, I look back at so many times growing up. I mean, even when I got to UNT, I changed my major. Like, I was accepted as a music major, and I dropped out my first year, and I wasn't a music major. I was undecided. Like, I just did my basics the first year. But it wasn't for any other reason other than I was just scared. I just didn't think that I had what it took. Even though, like, there was evidence proving otherwise, I just got in my own way. I was too in my head about it. So, yeah, I definitely would have told myself that more as a kid, but I try to make up for it now. And anytime I feel like I'm not ready for something, that's the time I do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the time to push yourself is when if it's scaring you, you must be excited about it.
Yeah, then it's probably right. If you're scared, you should do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, where can our listener and viewers find you? Is there a website, Instagram, social media handle?
Absolutely. Poetic_beats with 2 S's, as well as Find Your Rhythm, Fire Beats.
Yeah, you should plug your companies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Find Your Rhythm Entertainment is my other baby. And it's still new. It's growing just like this podcast. But it's Fire Beats on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook.
Yeah.
Follow me.
Yeah, definitely follow all three of us. Yeah, my Instagram is Kaylee Brooke Drums.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well,
thank you so much again for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Femme Forte. Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Music is by Humans Win. To learn more about our guests, sponsors, and get more resources, go to FemmeFortePodcast.com and follow us on social media @FemmeFortePodcast.